Welcome back. We are going to talk a little bit about the NFL schedule this hour because the Eagles got it, and boy, is it a beauty for them. Although, frankly, I don't need all those night games. You know, there's 3 and 4 weeks.
Wow.
That's rough. All right, but right now we've got a guy on who can analyze the thinking of organizations in times of crisis from the GM Shuffle podcast. He also has written a brilliant book called Gridiron Genius. He's working on a sequel to that, and his name is Mike Lombardi. Hi, Mike.
Good morning, everyone.
All right, Mike, you know the way I do things. I need, when I see a debacle, to assign blank. So could you help me with that, Mike? Because that's what us organizations do when they fall short. Who do we blame for what we witnessed over the past week or so?
I think you got to blame the owner. I mean, you know, he's going to step aside, but I can't imagine, and I'd love to be the producer of this documentary. I can't imagine an organization that's run by a man who's made billions, who make more bad decisions, and not just one. This isn't a fender bender, Angela. This has been a pattern of poor decisions going back to, you know, the start of it all. You know, we're going to start the process. We don't want, you know, we don't want to win right away. So we take Michael Carter Williams and Nolan Snowell, and there's Giannis, who's probably the furthest away of anybody, and we pass on him. So we start at that point, and every decision you make from that point forward has not been very good. And at some point, Harris has to realize he has a team with no culture. I mean, the fact that Embiid's throwing everybody under the bus last night again and telling we're too soft, it starts with you. You're the best player. What MVP in the league ever talks about his team being too soft? If you're the MVP in the league, how can your team be soft? You have MVP-like numbers. You don't play like an MVP. Your toughness. You talk about no defense. Where was the defense last night? So to me, this is a cultural problem that starts with the owner, and they've allowed this to happen. You know, there's an entitlement within the building. I've screamed this for 5 years now, and it keeps continuing on and on and on.
All right, so, Mike, let's start with Embiid since you started there. So do you find somebody with him who can – he's obviously still got problems with maturity. He still likes to blame others when things fall short. Do you find a personality like a Butler who can allow him to do what he does and provide the heart on the team that Embiid hasn't been able to? Are there players like that?
I think it's really hard because, you know, he wants to be the man. He wants to be the guy on the team, you know. And so when you have him as the role of the leader. See, Jeff Van Gundy has a great line. He says, your best player must set the tone of intolerance for anything that gets in the way of winning. Set the tone of intolerance for anything that gets in the way of winning. Ask yourself, does Embiid do that? No, that's not true.
You're
so,
right.
Therefore, how can your best player be, you know, how can you work that around? You can't have a guy come in and take over the team. The best player must set the tone of intolerance. Now, look, give him credit. He played all the games this year because he was chasing something that wasn't team-oriented. He wanted to be the MVP. But let's be real clear. There's only one. Giannis was the MVP. I mean, he's the best player in the league. He's the most valuable player. There's no comparison when you watch Giannis Milwaukee play Boston and then tune into Philadelphia against Miami. I mean, Embiid wasn't the best player on the floor. Butler was last night.
Well, let me pursue that because when you're saying set the tone of intolerance from the star, I'm looking at the Heat and I'm going, well, that's working out well with Butler because he does have an intolerance for failure. You could see how much more committed he is. How do you let him go when he's in your organization, Mike? He was here 2 years ago.
Well, because he didn't play nice in the sandbox, you know, because they listen. But again, it goes back to Harris. You know, you listen to Simmons. I don't want to play with him. He wants the ball. I want the ball. You listen to him. You cater to your stars. You know, the fact that we signed Tobias Harris, a nice guy and all that. But, you know, if you're going into a street fight, who are you going with, Tobias or Jimmy? You know that. I mean, you're sitting here screaming toughness. It's pretty clear. Anybody who watched the games that year knew it. Obviously, Elton Brand didn't. Because he made that decision. He almost maxed out Harris and let Butler walk. I mean, the Butler deal was probably one of the most saving deals of all time. To trade what they did, Covington and Saric for him, and really no draft picks, nothing involved, and they end up with him, and then they don't extend him.
Yeah.
It's comical. And yet now they're looking for a tough guy. They're looking for their PJ. Well, wait a minute. That's your job. You're the leader of the team. You're supposed to be the tough guy. You think Giannis needs somebody on his team to make everybody else tough?
Absolutely right. So I want to play something for you that Doc said, because, Mike, we think Doc needs to go, all right? Doc was in an alternate reality after the game last night. He was lavishing praise on himself and rewriting the narrative of the past 2 years since they brought him here. Listen to this. Give me your reaction.
I don't worry about my job, Howard. I think I do a terrific job, and if you don't, then you should write it, because I worked my butt off to get this team here. When I first got here, no one picked us to be anywhere. And again, this year, the same thing. So if that's how anyone feels, write it, and I'm going to feel secure about it.
Mike, I heard you laughing when he said no one picked us to do anything when they brought him here. That's absurd, isn't it?
It's completely absurd. Look, I think here's Daryl Morey's issue, and it's Josh Harris's issue, too. You have a coach who wants to play veterans, and you have a salary cap that you're trapped in. And so, you know, for all the Paul Millsaps you want to bring in, for all that, you need a coach who's going to develop some players on the team, because you're so stuck with this cap, there's no getting out of it. So you're going to need young players to develop. And Doc isn't the guy that's going to develop any young players. I mean, look, the fact that Shake Milton's out there playing his tail off, and Maxies are playing their tail off, two players last night that tried to compete, all the other ones didn't. You know, you've got to say to yourself, where was Milton all during the season? I mean, yeah. We played Millsap all year. You know, if you're the GM of the team, you go to Doc and say, Doc, look, I know you're going in the Hall of Fame. I know you were a great player. I get all that, okay? But can you explain to me how you play Millsap 25 minutes during the regular season and then you don't play him in the postseason? Can you explain that? Like, he can't. Like, that makes no sense to any personnel man or any general manager. It's ridiculous. And so for him to sit there and say there was no expectations, I mean, he got hired. He was basically taking over a Cadillac. He wasn't taking over a Subaru. He was taking over a Cadillac. And now he's trying to say that he's built this team? Come on, man.
Mike, would you fire him?
Well, I try to get him the Laker job. I'd make sure he wants to go back to Malibu. I mean, I bet he's – I mean, at 10 o'clock on Saturday, he talks about how hard he's worked. Check the Bel Air registry at golf and see if he's not playing golf at 10 o'clock without Michaels.
All right. I am going to acknowledge before I go any further, I will not be able to do justice today to the Eagles schedule. But, Mike, you are an NFL guy, and you have looked at that schedule. Mike, that is a very easy schedule, is it not?
Well, I think it is, Angelo, and I said this on my show and I've said it on the podcast, that the NFC East teams are very fortunate because they're going to play the South, the AFC South, and that gives you a great advantage because not only are you playing in a weak division, you're playing another weak division.
Yep.
And so you pick up that. And look, I think this, the only way you really look at schedules, and I think, look, the NFL schedule show was far more entertaining than the 76ers last night. There's no doubt about that. Okay, but the reality of it is you only really look at the September. The September schedule matters. That's what really ultimately determines what you think of your schedule, because you're trying to get your team ready to get going. There's no navies on your schedule. There's no easy games, because every game that looks easy, you end up having a hard time winning it. So you got to get your team ready, and the first part of the schedule really allows you to do that. And I think when you look at the Eagles, I think the Eagles are schedule as they start off with. You know, they've got to go to Detroit. They play Minnesota. You know, I mean, this kind of gets them going a little bit. It'll get them building into it. So I think it's fortunate that they have these kind of teams. Minnesota with the new coaching staff, Detroit kind of still going through some changes, and then they get the great Carson left-handed thrower Wentz to come in and watch him.
Mike, last thing. I have to ask this. You're very tight with Tom Brady. $375 million, not to play, to be a broadcaster.
It's amazing. I'm hoping that he'll let me just write him notes. I'm hoping to get a – hey, look.
Mike.
I'm hoping to just go on the shoestrings. I mean, I'll give up everything to give him notes before the game.
Mike, he's not – no broadcast is worth that, right? No way.
Angelo, it's beyond me. I mean, you know, Howard Cosell's rolling over in his grave. I mean, here's a man that made Monday Night Football. I mean, if you go back and look at it, and I've done this for my book, you look at what he did for Monday Night Football, the ratings they got, you know, for this to happen today. I'm going to watch the game no matter who's doing the broadcast. I mute 90% of it anyway, so it doesn't matter. I'm watching the game. So for Fox or ESPN to pay all this money – like, I don't understand it. Good for the industry, good for them, good for the market.
Mike Lombardi, always dazzling. Mike, love it. Thank you, pal.
Thanks, Angelo.
Mike Lombardi, great insights as always. Mm-hmm. And apparently he's quite active on Twitter, too.
Oh,
is
yes,
that true?
He is.
He's got a lot to say there, too. Let's go to Josh in Nicetown. Hi, Josh.
I'm so frustrated. Okay.
Wait, you're from Nicetown. You're not going to be nice?
Be damn that. Be damn that.
Let's hear it, Josh. Yep.
Listen, you don't build a Western Conference team for the Eastern Conference. That's what they did. They got all these foreign players. I mean, you know, listen, you don't put all these foreigners on an Eastern Conference a team and expect toughness. What is everybody drunk?
Giannis.
All right, Josh. I don't know what you're talking
about. This is a dumb comment,
Josh. This is. I hear that you're upset, but I think you should compute why you're upset. That's a really dumb comment. Let's go to Joe next. Hi, Joe. Good morning. You're on 94 WIP.
Hey, Ange. How you doing? Good show. I'm disgusted, Ange.
Yeah, it sounds like your dog's not that thrilled either. Let's hear what you got, Joe.
I look at these other players in the league, MVP candidates. I look at the games last night. Doncic goes out. He has a bad leg. You wouldn't even know it. He comes back. They win by 30 at home. They do what they have to do. I look at the freak. Last year he plays on a bum knee. They win the championship. Last night I'm watching the game. Embiid, every time I look up, he's on the ground. Even the commentators in the game said it. Hubie Brown said, I seen Embiid down 5-6 times. The other guy said, no, it's got to be 12-15. We have to start keeping stats on it, the guy said. It's just disheartening to watch every year. I think, it doesn't matter if you change the coach because they're going to come in. The only person I would keep on this team right now is Maxey.
Wait. You're getting rid of Embiid?
I'm at a loss for words.
Wow, Joe, that's strong.
You just don't think he's got heart.
You don't think he's got enough heart. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, Harper, like the other caller said, he's a bully until a bigger bully comes. And then once he sees he's not going to be able to overtake the bully, he goes into like a shell. And I don't know, every time I look up last night, he's at the top of the key. They take one shot, no rebounds. No rebounds. I mean, what is he doing? Not under the basket.
He shot 8 3-pointers.
But didn't you get the sense, Joe, even after the game, that he was pining for Jimmy Butler? Didn't you get the feeling? Like he's watching Butler beat him, and he's going, well, we should never have let him go. Then he would be doing that for me, and we would win. Like, but he doesn't – a superstar doesn't look at another star and go, I need him or I can't win.
I agree. You never heard – did you ever hear Iverson say he needs somebody else? Did you ever hear Steph Curry say, I need somebody else? I mean, it's just amazing to me that every year we get to this point, we can't get over the hump. So, like I said, if you could bring whoever in the coach, I don't know if it's going to matter because Harden still ain't going to want to shoot the ball. And B wants to shoot threes. It could be coaching, but these guys are setting their ways. They're setting their ways.
I think it's clear it's more than coaching, but let me go back to Embiid. Talking about after the game, and there was already like a little love fest going on between him and Butler, and then he basically acknowledged that he's unhappy that Jimmy's not still his teammate. Listen.
Yeah, like I said, I'm happy for him. I won't sit here and say I didn't wish he was my teammate. Still don't know how we let him go, but, you know, I wish I could have gone to battle with him still.
Wow.
Marcus, you were right there, right? How did that comment play?
Well, it was an hour and a half after the game, so most of us were pretty tired, except for Howard. Howard was on it. He was ready.
Okay.
But it was a lead balloon because we had been – and the guy that, you know, Butler says they chose over him, Tobias Harris – was more scathing of the Sixers than anyone else, and he was right. And Tobias Harris played his butt off in these playoffs. He was their best player during the playoffs, and it wasn't particularly close. And he questioned the Sixers' heart, the Sixers' toughness, the Sixers' professionalism, and he was not talking about Joel Embiid. He was talking directly about Joel Embiid and James Harden. And it's ironic that, you know, afterward, Joel Embiid comes in unaware of what Tobias said, and said, well, I wanted the other guy.
Wow. All right, wow. When we come back, I know what you're thinking. You would like to hear what Stephen A. Smith had to say, right? You would need to hear, you need to hear that, don't
you? Of course,
you?
Yeah.
I think you were watching him at halftime, and he was kind of he was a visionary in that game last night.
Yeah, he knew what was going to happen.
We'll get a little sample of that going when we come back, and hopefully we'll track down a little more of Tobias Harris stuff. Apparently, he was very critical of his own team.
Yep.
I think we could use a couple of those cuts, too. So 215-592-9494, WIP Sports Time 770.
BetMGM is pitching baseball fans a chance to swing for the fences. Register using code GRAHAM200 and win $200 in free bets when you place a $10 moneyline wager on any Major League Baseball game and either team hits a home run, regardless of your bet's outcome. Enjoy baseball like never before with BetMGM's daily promotion at your fingertips all season long. Sign up today and find out why nothing beats a win at the King of Sportsbooks. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Brought to you by Window Nation.
They play great. They play more physical. They crush us on the glass. They made every energy, hustle play, quickness play. No, we absolutely have to get better. You know, we saw that coming in. We look at, you know, the two teams and we say, listen, we need people. But we tried to do it with what we had, and that's all you can do. And, again, I love our guys. I thought every single one of them, whether they played well or not, every single one of our guys showed up to play.
That is Doc Rivers. The Sixers have been to one conference final since Dr. J retired. Won't again this year as they meekly went out in the second round yet again, this time in six to the Miami Heat, 99-90. James Harden took just two shots in the second half, complained after he wasn't getting the ball. Phillies hung on for dear life in L.A., beating the Dodgers 9-7. Jose Alvarado allowing the Dodgers to tie the game up in the eighth, a game the Phils led by 7-1 at one point. Alvarado charged with four runs. It's Window Nation's graduation sale. Are your old windows failing? Call Window Nation. Get two free windows for every two you buy and 0% financing for 5 years. WindowNation.com. NBC 10 First Alert forecast. Partly cloudy. Chance of scattered showers. A high of 75. It's currently 58. To stream 94 WIP, tell your smart speaker to play 94 WIP.
All right, it's back at 7:22, and there's so much to do. I will take your calls on whatever you want to talk about. I guess we will push off our conversation about the schedule until next week because
we have more pressing.
Well, we have Ray Dittiger coming up at 8, but fortunately, Ray will be able to address crises going on with the Sixers. But Al, you were telling me before that there's a lot of teams. This team is very high profile, the Sixers.
You're very high.
And you have watched tons of national commentary.
Yes.
And it's harsher than it is for almost all other teams.
It's the harshest I've ever seen of any professional team by ex-athletes as analysts and stuff. The fact that they go top rope on the Sixers and Embiid is fascinating to me, that they are more than willing to go to the point where fans actually think they need to back off. That's how harsh. Really.
So, what is emboldened them
I believe
to
that
do this?
In the case of Shaq and Barkley. I mean, Barkley played with a bad knee.
Right.
You know, I think that they think that deep down, there is no deep down to Embiid.
He's soft.
Yeah.
They think he's soft.
And I think they don't like soft.
They're defining it by the number one star on the team and thinking that he has a number of things about him that are not good
and are going to hold the team.
And Harden,
Stephen A., who's become the national voice of a lot of things, I mean, he didn't. Remember the beginning of the trade?
Oh, he hated it.
And he said, this is going to be a disaster.
Now, you were telling me at halftime. Oh. I did not see that. Stephen A. was predicting that the Sixers would doom.
Yeah, because they were saying, like, it's a one-point game. And Stephen was like, you could hear his eyes roll.
It was a one-point game.
Yeah, but he was saying, if you're expecting Harden to step up. He said, well, maybe he'll step up. And basically he said, nah, that ain't going to happen.
All right. Not only did Harden not step up, he took two shots and scored 0 points.
If you watched him on the court, it was unbelievable, the disinterest that he had.
Meanwhile, Butler in the second half had 23.
And Maxey.
And after the game, Stephen A. Smith, Al, once again attacked the team he used to cover.
That performance by James Harden requires an investigation. How in God's name do you play? You go 22 minutes in the second half and attempt one shot. It was a horrific performance, anemic and impotent performance by James Harden. And I'm really interested in seeing what the Philadelphia 76ers are going to do with Doc Rivers, because I smell something and it don't smell right at all.
Well, that's the conspiracy theory that he wants the coach gone.
Yep.
Wow. All right, wait a minute. All right, Mark, you're there. So Harden purposely sabotages the elimination game to get Doc Rivers fired? I'm a talk show host. I live with ridiculous theories. Nah.
Steven said it about a week or two ago. It's not the first time
Marcus,
he said it.
No. Right? No.
No.
Thank you. Say, Marcus. he knows he's there. He would say it. Kevin's up for Paul Croft. Hi, Kev.
Hey. I am so frustrated. I don't even know where to start.
Well, talking. We'll tell you when to stop.
He's a philosopher. he's definitely more of a philosopher than a coach. Yeah. Every time I see him in the huddle, he's telling them how they should feel and all these emotional things. I never see him with the clipboard and X's and O's, running plays, drawing up plays. It's just terrible. And Harden, he's like Ben Simmons in disguise. How do you only take two shots and you're supposed to be the all-star of the team? Someone that's supposed to be bailing us out in those situations. I'm really a loss for words. It's ridiculous.
So you just jogged. I just thought of something ominous. Mm-hmm. All right. A year ago at this time, in the closeout game, Ben Simmons lost the city. Mm-hmm. Completely lost the city to the point where he never played another play on the team. Did Harden lose the city last night? Is it the same thing? He lost you. In other words, the fact that he exerted so little aggression when they needed him most, you don't even want him on the team anymore.
No.
I can do better without him. Him, Doc, and that old baseball manager of ours, they can ship them all out on the same boat. See what kind of deal we can get for all of them.
All right. This is a big package deal
like
you're putting together, Kev, huh? You've had enough of the whole crew.
You can ship the GM with them, him and Harden. In the sense that, you know, they behind the scene dating, and you know they right. sold.
You want him back for $47 million next year? You want him to opt in?
No, I don't want.
I mean, it would be
awful.
I don't
want to see him. The way you are putting this package together, Kev, we're going to need a van to get all these guys out of town.
You can put them on a jet, fly them out, let them all go together on the boat. However they need it, they can FedEx them.
Love it, Kevin. Let's put him in a box and FedEx him out. Bill's up next from Mayfair. Hi, Bill.
Hey, Angelo. How you doing?
What are you feeling, Billy?
Oh, man, I'll tell you right now, I'm so damn upset. I want to get Maury. I want to get Rivers. I want to get Harding and Joe, Philly Joe. Put him on a plane to Siberia.
Hold on, Bill. I can only get rid of one to start. Which one goes first?
Harding.
Wow, you don't see he. Al, I think we might have Ben Simmons too here. He lost the city last night.
Two shots.
Right, Marcus.
Remember the stat we were talking about.
Right.
This is James Harden's second least productive playoff game since he left Oklahoma City, where he was the sixth man. There was only one other playoff game where he was this unproductive. He scored 10 points in Game 6, an elimination game, in 2017 against San Antonio. This is arguably the second worst playoff game of his career in the clutch.
Wow. Bill, he lost the city last night.
He did. He's a point guard. He's got to shoot the ball, drive to the basket, pass it. He only got the ball twice. That's it.
Bill, you've made great points. I want to play something for you guys because this will be talked about for a while. He is the point guard. He does distribute the basketball. That is his number one occupation. But he only took two shots himself in the second half, did not hit either, and then afterwards had a very odd explanation for why. Listen.
We ran our offense. The ball, you know, I feel like the ball moved and, you know, just didn't get back to me.
Why weren't you more aggressive?
Like I just said, we ran our offense. The ball, you know, just didn't get back to me.
So.
Yeah. You were right
later,
there, Marcus.
Later in the interview, Howard asked him a similar question. And what was James Harden's response?
What?
Next question.
Oh, I have that. Yes, that's right. So he didn't even like the question. I got to find out. And I'll get that. I'm going to get that for you in a second here.
Howard was displeased.
All right, we do. It's number 14, Joe. And again, Howard is doing the question. Maybe some of this is out. They can't stand Howard.
Good for them.
I love Howard.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's listen to Harden with Eskin asking if the coach called any plays for him in the second half.
James, you said the ball didn't get to you. Does the coach call plays to try to get the ball to you?
Next question.
Ooh, Al, next question is not good either.
Yeah.
I don't think that had to do with Howard.
Can we say this? Is it safe to say that Harden doesn't like playing for Doc?
Yeah.
Is that clear? Is that clear, Marcus? You're right there.
He said that he wanted to be in Philly because Doc was here, and he wanted to play for Doc for a long time. So he has actively refuted that.
All right. But that we don't know. That's why he's so mysterious. Sean is up next. Hi, Sean.
Hey, what's up?
You're going to defend Joel today. I'm looking forward to this. What do you want to say?
We're all athletes. You got a ligament. You got a broken orbital. I'm just sick and tired of these fans. And listen, it was everybody last night. There was no energy from the fans to get them going. You know when they got going? In the fourth quarter, we made a little bit of a run. That crowd was quiet. We have to back our fans. Number two, Doc in the huddle. He's not making adjustments. He's telling people, oh, let's go, let's go. We need to do this, need to do that. He's just trying to get them pumped up. And number three, Ange, I'm telling you right now, it all falls on the coach. Harden's gone. You're bringing Jay Wright in. You're going to get his unrestricted free agent, Mikal Bridges. We should have kept. You're going to go get Jalen Brunson to be point guard. Embiid stays. Harden's gone. You fix the Sixers right there. Fundamental basketball team. It's
all right, Sean, I love your plan. There's only one thing you said there that I did not anticipate anybody saying today. You placed at least a little of the blame on the energy of the fans. You're saying the fans came up small in the big game. Am I reading that right? That's what you said.
You go to Seattle and they're 3-13. You think they're quiet in a football game? You go to Oklahoma City. Did you go to Dallas? Weren't they down 3-2 last night? Did you see their fans? It was quiet, man. We were quiet.
I'm not going after the fans on this one. I don't ever do that, but I do. I am fascinated, but a fan thought that. I need somebody who was at the game, somebody who has been at many of these games, and I want to know if you think even the fans were not all in the way they had been before. Because game three, where they come back here and Embiid suddenly is playing, that was electric. Game four, I thought was even better, right? Now, I wasn't there last night. Marcus, you were there, right? Was the atmosphere less than it had been?
It was very muted, very, what do you call it, show me. It was very much show me.
Okay. Well,
after the
that might have been because of game five.
Game five, absolutely.
Game five sucks some of the life out of it.
I got to tell you, if you don't show for every game, especially playoff game in Philadelphia, the fans remember.
Wow, that is really interesting. Let's go to Derek next in North Philly. Hi, Derek.
Hey, what's going on, man?
What are you feeling? What do you think? Listen,
James Harden, the ball didn't get back to you because y'all was turning it over. That's why it's not getting back to you. And I'm watching the game. I'm thinking Embiid making a breakdancing video or something. He was on the floor so much. Like, I got my cardboard out, ready to do a head spin or something, man. Like, come on. First of all, we all got to start to see where are we going to start at. Yep. We need to keep a player. All right, y'all going to get rid of Doc Rivers. Let's say he's gone. We got a new coach. Where do we start? Who do we keep? We got to build. We can bash everybody and all that right now, but who do we keep? Let's be real right now. We got to start being real with this team. Who do we keep? Who do we let go? And let's start building from there. Let's say Doc Rivers is gone.
Let's do that. All right. I am not getting rid of Embiid. I know there's a lot of people who are unhappy. He's an incredible talent. I just need to put somebody with him that shows more, gives him a little more heart.
We do have that question.
He does
like
that. All right. Now, Maxie, Joe, no way, Derek, I'm getting rid of Maxie. I still love Maxie. So
thank
I'm keeping Maxie. Who else do I want there? Tobias, who wants that contract?
Exactly. So keep Tobias. Make him a role player off the bench.
Okay.
So take the money you was going to give Harden. Like the guy said, Brunson is up. Try to get him because he don't turn the ball over. He's aggressive. He played good defense. We got to start building right now, and let's figure out what we're going to do now. I don't care about the coach and all that. Build a team that's going to be a team, and we need a team. That's
Derek, very constructive call. The Jay Wright thing, Al, maybe it's more feasible now that he's retired.
He's not coming to this team.
Probably not, but, it would be nice. That would be an upgrade. I thought that would be an upgrade. A week back, I am going to get some people who are at the gate to tell me if they also came up small.
Mm-hmm.
I don't blame them. The team has to energize you to some extent.
I didn't blame the fans.
I don't blame fans. No. And here's the other thing. A week back, Marcus was talking about this. Tobias Harris, according to Marcus Hayes, did a 15-minute indictment of the Sixers organization. He was very critical of them. Right, Marcus?
It was like, hey, listen, trade me.
Wow. We will come back and hear what Tobias was saying. And I'll also let you hear what Jimmy Butler said about Tobias as he left the court. That's next. Top of the hour with the great Ray Dittiger as we ride him hard all the way to retirement. WIP Sports Time, 735. right, welcome back. It is coming up at 7:40 right now. I'm going to start this by letting you just hear a three-second cut. As Jimmy Butler was leaving, Jimmy Butler, Al, is very good. I feel I have that in common with him. He's really good at holding grudges.
Yeah.
I hold grudges literally 20 years.
Yeah.
And people say it eats you inside. No, I love it. Mm-hmm. I love having feuds and grudges. His grudge is that the Philadelphia 76ers 2 years ago prioritized signing Tobias Harris over him. And he knew then, and we knew then, that was a dumb decision. And as he was leaving the court, having made a statement on the court by eliminating the Sixers, he made this comment.
Tobias Harris over me?
See, now, that may seem divisive to some people. That is, I love that about Jimmy.
Yeah.
Jimmy is a handful.
Yep.
Jimmy will say whatever he wants. That's good. Al, you need more of that on this team. This team is a bunch of pussycats.
Yeah, you need an ass.
All right. So anyway, let me get to now. Before I play what we have, we're still working on Harris because he had a lot to say after the game. Marcus was there. Marcus, give me the general thrust of what he was saying about the Sixers organization in his post-game remarks.
He was pretty scathing. He said that there was a lack of effort. He said that they lack mental toughness, which Joel Embiid agreed with later.
Yeah.
He said that we hang our heads when things don't go well, and our body language is crappy. It was as if he was saying, get me out of here. I can't win with these guys. The clock is ticking on my career as well.
Wow. Now, that's next level, because we're usually going after Tobias. And Tobias, of all the guys that spoke after the game, right, Tobias was the most vocal in criticizing the attitude of the team?
Not even close. And
wow,
he has a leg to stand on because he had the best postseason of anybody on that team.
Yeah.
And I think he might have turned a corner career-wise because he discovered that he's a pretty good defender and his defense creates offense for him.
All right, we're still working on him. Here's what we have so far and what he said after the game.
No, truthfully, just lack of effort on our part. Turned the ball over. Didn't get the type of looks or shots that we, you know, would have wanted. And that was kind of the flow all throughout second half, was the looks that we were getting just weren't what we needed to win a playoff game.
All right, Rhea, I need to run this by you because there's one thing I know about you. I have never worked a day with you where you gave me a lack of effort.
Okay.
You played a whole season.
Yep.
You're in an elimination game in your own building. Explain lack of effort. And that's one of the players saying, we didn't try as hard. What? Why?
There are two guys on the team. Well, yeah. You know, Embiid has an excuse because of all the injuries, okay? But his body language in Game 5 was as bad as it was in the Atlanta game last year, okay? Same thing, he had the knee issue. Giannis had a knee issue last year, and they just went all the, you know, they won the championship. And then you have James Harden. You were watching James Harden that game last night get the ball stripped and kind of stand there for a couple seconds and go, oh, maybe I'll run after him. You're watching two guys just literally who knew they had no chance of winning in Games 5 and Game 6.
Harden set a tone of not trying hard enough.
And Embiid said it in Game 5 with that body language. I text Wechter in the first quarter, and I said, they will lose this game because of his body language.
All right, here's where we are, ladies and gentlemen. So a major theme has emerged about effort. Effort by the coach, effort by the players, effort specifically by Harden, somewhat by Embiid. Even Tobias Harris pointed this out. And, yes, even the effort of the fans. One of our callers said you did not give sufficient effort. To address that, Al, Brennan from Newark was at the game last night. Let's see if he gave effort. Hi, Brennan.
Hi, good morning, good morning.
What was the atmosphere? Describe the atmosphere in the building.
I'll start from the jump. Energy was there. Charlie rang the bell. That place was electric. I don't know what Sean was talking about. And then the Sixers, they come out so unorganized. What, they go down like, was it 7-0?
Yeah. Yep.
You know, we were still loud. We were, I mean, it would have been a lot easier to be loud if also the shots were falling. Shots weren't really falling. You know, every time we make a basket, everybody's on their feet the whole time. You know, I mean, the refs really sucked a lot of the momentum out of the game with, like, I don't understand how a call can be for one team and then go down on the other court and it just no call. Like, I mean, that was a lot of it. We were in the ref's ass. Oh, excuse my language. I'm sorry.
No problem. And, just keep going, and, Brendan.
You know, also, the place we didn't quit until the team quit. About halfway through the fourth quarter, you could tell these guys just laid down, and then at the very end of the game, they did a little push to make the score not look as bad as the game actually was.
Brendan, who, number one, do you blame for this?
I mean, I would have to tie Doc and Harden.
All right, Doc and Harden. So do you want both of them gone? Do you want Doc?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't mind. Yeah. I mean, Doc definitely gone. I wouldn't mind keeping Harden if it's a modest contract. He's still a playmaker. He just doesn't have the lift that he used to have.
Okay. But you also would not mind Harden leaving. Is that correct? Am I hearing you correctly?
I mean, honestly, I want Beal. If I had a choice, like, but Bill, I don't know if that's realistic.
After the show, I'll make a couple of calls. Brendan, right, thank you for the call. I got to tell you something. Now, I want to play. Al, this is of all the stuff that was said after the game, and it was a lot, this may get the most traction because it's a teammate, two stars,
right,
and one star pointing out publicly that the other star isn't that good anymore. And it's Joel Embiid talking about James Harden. Listen to this.
You know, since we got him, everybody expected the Houston James Harden, but that's not who he is anymore.
All right, Marcus, you're James Harden, right? All right, you may acknowledge it's true, right? What are you thinking about your teammate that he said that publicly?
James is a weird guy.
Yeah?
So if I'm James, I'm like, from what I've been able to glean from James,
yeah,
I'm like, okay, well, if they believe I'm not the Houston James Harden, that lets me off the hook a little bit, right?
Ah, they've lowered the bar.
Right, so I can be, instead of the $50 million a year guy that I'm going to make almost $50 million next year, I can play like a $25, $30 million a year guy. And let's be honest, all right? James Harden won great last night. That happens. If the number isn't the number, and if the MVP wasn't the MVP, and he's 5 years removed from me in the MVP, 4 years removed from me in the MVP, James Harden's still a good basketball player.
Yeah.
You know, and as long as you don't expect him to be a great basketball player, if you change the frame around the picture, maybe he is less distasteful to you today.
But Marcus, here's the thing. We know he's capable. He had a 32-point game.
He's capable.
A great game.
He's
but he can't sustain it.
It's like you in the bedroom, man.
You don't know that.
I hope not.
No. No, you
It's a, it's like
he has no stamina.
There are peaks and valleys.
All right, Marcus, you've gotten too personal.
I cannot
continue further. I must go to Mike in Bensalem. Hi, Mike.
Hey, what's up, Angelo? How you been?
What are you feeling, Michael?
The biggest problem with Embiid is, you know what, when he falls, I understand you're hurt, but when you fall to the ground, and he shows the other team how hurt he is. And that, to me, all that does is motivate the other team. You know, if you fall to the ground, get up and get to the next play. You know, if it really, I just feel like he overreacts sometimes to every time he falls on the ground. And, you know, we need someone here to get him a little mentally tougher to say, like, hey, man, you know, all that's doing is showing the other team, you know, they're getting to you. You know, you don't have it, you know, and it's motivating them, and they play better because you're playing bad or you're showing them how hurt you are. And I that's, to me, Embiid's biggest problem. And like Rhea said, you can kind of tell in the first 5-10 minutes of every game what Embiid's game's going to be like.
Mike, you are absolutely right. Let me tell you, the idea of playing hurt is to show the opponent and your team that despite being hurt, you are going to give them production. Not to show them, okay, look how hurt I am and what a hero I am. It's all performative, and it's exhausting. You go down. Joel Embiid got hit in the face with the ball last game. Yeah. Stayed on the floor for 5 minutes, declined medical attention, and re-entered the game almost immediately.
Yeah. I don't think he left the game. I think he continued in the game. And the broadcasters that were doing it thought he might die. When they were going, oh, my God, look at the pain he's in. Yeah, some of it's theatrical.
It's 90% theatrical.
Oh,
he doesn't need to be diving out.
I had very bad thoughts in my head.
What happened to the back injury?
Yeah.
Remember
he
dived out of bounds and all of a sudden his back was thrown out?
You can't do everything at once.
We have not seen anything from the back injury from game five where he was, you know, this heroic. I mean, it's all performative. And if you, like you said, Mike, if you let the other team know how bad you're hurting, they win.
I had bad thoughts when he fell to the ground and took out Danny Green. And I thought, well, this is him falling to the ground all the time. Unfortunately, there was shrapnel.
Mike, here's the thing. You're lucky you're not here at Borgata today, because when you were talking, Marcus Hayes was loving you so much, he would have hugged you. You would have gotten a hug here. Mike, he loved your call. I appreciate it. Thank you, Mike. Let's go to Obadiah next. Hi, Obadiah.
Hey, how you doing today, guys?
What are you feeling?
I won't lie to you. Yesterday, I watched a game with my best friend, my African best friend, and he told me he was scared about me. I was about running to drop the car into the wall or something.
Wow.
Because this is crazy.
Who are you mad at?
I'm mad at the coach. In fact, the first person I'm mad at is the owner of the Sixers. Like, this is serious. Why would you do that? You always going out, partying and all this on your Instagram and everything. You don't care about the team. Like, come on, bro. Wake up.
All right, so Obadiah, the stuff he said after the game, did that help you at all?
Last game we played. Like, come on, guys. You don't play like that. You don't have no heart at all.
All right. Well, I appreciate your call, Obadiah. Let me play a little more Doc for you. See if this got any better, Al. He assessed the play of his team vis-a-vis the Miami Heat.
They played great. They played more physical. They crushed us on the glass. They made every energy hustle play, quickness play. No, we absolutely have to get better. You know, we saw that coming in. We look at, you know, the two teams and we say, listen, we need people. But we tried to do it with what we had, and that's all you can do. And again, I love our guys. I thought every single one of them, whether they played well or not, every single one of our guys showed up to play.
They arrived at the arena.
Isn't that a contradiction for what he had just said?
Yeah, the Sixers, they hurt your eyes, then they hurt your ears.
No, but he just said how great the Heat were, diving for everything, going hard at everything.
Yeah, they all
implying that they played harder than him, right?
They got out-hustled.
And then he says, but our guys, I love them all. They did they did their best.
No, he said they showed up, which means they checked in at the arena. They were present.
It was almost like he was hearing himself say these things.
Yeah.
And then said, but that's my responsibility.
Yeah, well, that is his responsibility, Marcus. If you're saying the other team was more focused, if they were more tenacious, part of that is a component of the coaching.
And Joel Embiid took pains after the game to say, you know, let's not blame the coach and the front office. Let's blame the players. We have to blame the players as well. But the reality is there has to be accountability, and accountability starts with the front office and the coach.
Marcus Hayes, what's your gut tell you? You've been doing this a long time, covering teams. Does your gut tell you Doc is done here, or do you think he gets another year?
My gut has told me since the end of last season, both the baseball and the basketball season, that neither Joe Girardi nor Doc Rivers wants to be here.
Wow! They don't even want to be here.
I mean, the organization, they came from organizations that are top-notch.
Right.
And they are now in an organization, at organizations that are, let's just say, not top-notch.
And let me just say, we will never get to it today. The Phillies did win 9-7.
Yeah.
Joe Girardi did everything he could to blow the game.
He looked at the Sixers game and said, hold my beer.
7-1 lead he blew. He left Alvarado in until he got caved. 5 hits.
Yeah, he likes that play.
Let's go to Aaron next in Norristown. Hi, Aaron. How are you today?
Good, Enzo. How you doing this morning?
I'm fine. What are you feeling right now, Aaron?
Well, I think you had Mike Lombardi on, and this team has gotten so much accolades. And it is organizational, as Marcus was just pointing out. The Kings and the Clippers are the only team that has only reached one conference final in 37 years. That this team is talked about like its historical 77-86 run. This is one of the worst franchises in sports. And in 37 years, to only reach one conference final, to miss the playoffs 17 times, to lose on purpose for 5 years, to have an owner who also owns the New Jersey Devils that you never talk about, and is now getting ready to buy the Denver Broncos, and he cares about our team. It's ridiculous to actually sit here and dissect this player and this player. It is, like Mike Lombardi said, a cultural losing franchise.
So, Aaron,
this is a losing franchise for the past 37 years.
Aaron, what do the Clippers and the Sixers have in common in recent history?
Doc Rivers.
There you go.
Aaron, good stuff, man. I love the way you said that. You know what is surprising me halfway through the show, Al? The ownership is getting slaughtered way worse than I thought.
Yeah.
I thought the focus would be on Harden and Doc, and Harden has not gotten as much criticism as I anticipated. But he's gotten a lot, but not...
Look.
Harden is just the embodiment of apathy.
But he's also coincidental to the process.
Yep. You're right. You're right.
Josh Harris traded 4 first-round draft picks, including an All-Star, Olympic gold medal winner, and future finals MVP for Andrew Bynum in 2012. It was his first relatively remarkable move. And I asked Josh Harris... at this ridiculous gala announcement,
I remember that.
At the Constitution Center,
my God.
Where Andrew Bynum showed up in sweatpants and uncombed hair, would you sign him to an extension, understanding that one of the reasons you were able to get him is because he has a bad knee? And he said, a max extension. And he said, where do I sign? And
wow.
At that point, I was like, you have no idea what you're doing, do you?
And 10 years later, he continues to assert he is clueless. 215-592-9494. When we return, the great Ray Dittinger. We're going to get a little Eagles in here, I promise. WIP Sports Time is 7:56.